You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hello, Miami Dolphin fans, and welcome to the Same Old Dolphin Show, sponsored by BetUS, part of the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network. I'm Josh Katzker. With me today and every day, my brother from the exact same mother, Aaron the Brain. Aaron, say hello to the people.
Hello to the people.
Football season is back. It's here. It's happening. How do you feel about it?
I'm ready. It feels good. I know it's not pulse check time, but I feel a little bit uneasy about this coming in with all these expectations.
Feeling uneasy?
I gotta say, I'm feeling a little bit uneasy because it's like, you know, last year it was like the first time that there were really expectations of the team being a playoff team, but there wasn't. Even though we talked about how there was a world where the Dolphins were, you know, perhaps a Super Bowl contender, it really wasn't the expectation. But now the team is 100% all in. And I would argue maybe like 80 to 90%. But, the expectation is that this team is in the winning window to compete for a championship. I haven't seen expectations like this in such a long time for this team. And it makes me nervous because this is a team that's disappointed me for my entire lifetime.
Well, sure. But you know what? It's a new year and it's an exciting time. I mean, I was thinking about it this morning, actually, on my drive to work, because this is, you know, and I've said it on a previous episode, this is the first time that I can remember, you know, first time in a while anyway, that I'm coming in where I'm not necessarily saying that it's my expectation, but it is my belief that if things go right, this is a team that could win a Super Bowl. And it's a time where I am now looking at the moves that the team is going to make, the way that they handle game in and game out, the strategy of game in and game out, and the way they handle their off-field decisions, additions, trades, free agents, all of that stuff between now and the end of the 2024 season, everything that they do has to be geared towards winning now primarily. That has to be the number one objective, is win now. This has been a team where yes, you're trying to be competitive and you're trying to do what you can to win, but they were always building towards what is to come. They're always building towards that point in the future where that ultra competitive window is going to happen. And we are now at a time where the window is open. The moment is now. And as we approach this season, for the first time in a long time, the Miami Dolphins are set and are ready. And as long as they can stay healthy, truly should be legitimate contenders. Obviously, they're in the AFC. They're in the AFC. Patrick Mahomes plays in the AFC. So they're always going to have to go through him, and they're probably not going to be favorites. They are in probably, if not the toughest, one of the toughest divisions in football. So to come out of that division is not going to be easy, but they should be right there. And this is a team that should be among the elites in the league come the end of this season. And quite frankly, if this season ends in any other way than the Dolphins being within a game or two of the Super Bowl, this season is a failure.
Yeah, I mean, that's, look, at the end of the day, you're playing to win a Super Bowl. You're in the window. That's the goal. I mean, you can define the season however you want. I think there's a lot of things that can happen in the season that ultimately determine how you're going to ultimately judge the team. But certainly, the goal is to win a Super Bowl, and it seems attainable. And so, yeah, I think it's easy to say at this point that if you don't come close to that goal, that it's a failure.
Yeah, and that's where we are. And that, I think, is exciting. It's exciting to be in a place where that is the expectation for this team. I'm not going to tell you the expectation is that they should win a Super Bowl, but it's certainly within the realm of possibility, and that in and of itself is exciting. So we are here today, Brain, not to do a preview of the season for the Dolphins, because we've kind of already done that. It's game preview time. We're going to preview the Dolphins' first game of the season against the Los Angeles, not the San Diego, the Los Angeles Chargers on Sunday. And we're going to do that here on the show today. And then after that, we're also going to go around and we'll go division by division and give our predictions for the season as a whole. Of course, if you listen to the DolphinsTalk.com roundtable show that we did last week, maybe our predictions won't be a surprise to you. Or maybe we'll have changed our mind. Who knows? Who knows?
I'll say right off the bat that, you know, I reserve the right to change my predictions, and that the predictions on this show will supersede any prediction that I made on the roundtable show. So there's going to be some changes, and this is the official prediction show for me.
This is perfect, and it's really on brand, too, because we talked about in that show about how wishy-washy you were being and your inability to just make that decision. So the fact that you may have completely changed your mind since then is pretty exciting.
Well, we shall see.
We certainly shall. But before we get into all of that, a reminder to you, if you're not doing so already, to make sure that you are following us on Twitter. I am at AmplifiedDeRock. He is at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron. The Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. You can download, rate, review, and subscribe to the Same Old Dolphins show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere that you get your podcasts. Shout out to everybody watching live on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. What's up, everybody? Lots of good stuff on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. So we invite you to subscribe to the channel. Hit that notification bell so you know every time we go live. Mike had two shows today, one of which was an interview with the football GM, Michael Lombardi, on the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel earlier today. So make sure you go back and check that out if you missed it earlier. Yeah, make sure you're visiting DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. It is your one-stop shop for all things Miami Dolphins. And Brain, it's time to get into it. Dolphins opening up the season in LA against the Chargers, the team that, you know, this was the game last year, I think, that really kind of threw things off for the Dolphins the rest of the way. It seemed like the Chargers kind of laid the ground plan for what teams were going to need to do to defeat the Miami Dolphins. They really sort of set that up last year. And that was where we saw the Dolphins struggle to figure out what to do when option A wasn't available to them. Now, a lot of that was because the Chargers just played. I mean, the Chargers were beat up in that game, and the guys that they had on the field played out of their minds. And I thought the Dolphins didn't play their greatest game, and all of those things combined to, you know, the Dolphins' inability to run the ball in that game, that kind of laid out a blueprint. And so what I want to see this year is, can the Dolphins make that adjustment? Can they show that when plan A doesn't work, that plan B is available? And when plan B doesn't work, there's a plan C available. How deep can they dig? And that's kind of what I want to see in here. But let's start, Brain. So let's start there with the Dolphins having the ball. To me, I should preface this by saying we're at a point in the season where we have the least amount of information to go on. Right? We've got last year, and then we've got our assumptions about what these.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Can anybody hear me? That was a weird moment. My mic became unplugged as I was having this conversation. Hopefully everybody can hear me now and I still sound good.
You sound all right. I think we can go with it.
Good. We'll go with it and
oh, that's better.
It sounds as good as possible. Thank you. So at any rate, as I was saying, we have the least amount of information that we're ever going to have. So it's pure speculation. It doesn't matter who you're talking to and who you're listening to. At this point, it's pure speculation as to how things are going to play out. But with all that said, Brain, when the Dolphins have the ball, what do they need to do on offense to really establish themselves and make sure they can win this game on Sunday?
Well, really, to answer that question, the first thing that you have to get into is what happened last year. Like, what did the Chargers do last year that gave the Dolphins so many issues? And then how can the Dolphins counter that this time around? And really, what the Chargers did last year was they basically played their base defense, stopped the run on first down, and then knew, based on the Dolphins' tendencies, to throw the ball on second and long. They would get Miami in second and third and long, and then they would play with a bunch of depth and coverage in the middle of the field. They would get really physical on the edges with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle and basically bracket them, basically double cover them and say, all right, find somebody else to throw to beat us. And Miami couldn't do it. So the counter to that is, number one, have success on first down. Number two, run the ball and be patient running with your running game and commit to it so that the Chargers can't just, you know, completely sell out in pass coverage. And then I think the third thing, well, really, I think there's four things. I think the third thing is having another weapon that can beat man coverage or find the soft spots in the zone in the middle of the field, perhaps out of the slot. I think that's Braxton Berrios. I think that's one of the main reasons that Miami targeted Braxton Berrios, was to have a guy that can do just that, that can find the open spaces in the middle of the field, you know, and use that space that's created from having all that speed on the edge with Tyreek Hill and Jaylen Waddle. And then I think, you know, opening up some space, you know, some things horizontally. I think end arounds, screens, misdirections like that, things to get your playmakers the ball in space where they can really challenge the Chargers to tackle, and that we're not just dropping Tua back there and hoping that he finds somebody open 10 to 15 yards down the field. Make the Chargers have to come up, attack the line of scrimmage, suck them in a little bit, and then maybe you can take some shots. I think that's really how they go about attacking them.
Yeah, and that was the thing they really failed to do in that first matchup. They just, the Chargers dared the Dolphins to run the ball on first down with those light boxes, and the Dolphins just failed to do it. And so that's something that we've really got to see the Dolphins figure out, is running the ball when you're in a running situation, you know? And if that's something that they can do and they can establish that and they can stay out of those second and longs, they're going to be able to, this is going to be a theme, they're going to be able to stay on schedule. And when what we've seen is when the Dolphins can stay on schedule and Tua can stay on schedule, good things typically happen for the Miami Dolphins. Now, what about on the other side of the ball? Because this is a Chargers offense that is pretty high powered, with Austin Eckler, with Justin Herbert, who, you know, he's got a great arm, but he's also got an underrated ability to run the ball. He's got Keenan Allen. He's got Mike Williams. He's got Gerald Everett. This is a team with some weapons, brain. So defensively, now this is where we believe the Dolphins are going to be most improved this year. And they've got a lot of different elements that they didn't have last year, namely Vic Fangio as the defensive coordinator. But what is this team going to do defensively to slow down what is a pretty potent Chargers offense?
Well, I think the biggest thing is, you know, you're going to see a lot more. This is a completely different scheme. You can't have a more opposite defensive scheme from what the Dolphins have been the last few years under Josh Boyer to what they're going to be with Vic Fangio. This is going to be a heavily, you know, a heavily zone defense as far as coverage. They're not going to play a bunch of guys up at the line of scrimmage. They're actually going to usually have lighter boxes. And they're going to rely on their defensive line to really hold the fort down. And I think that's kind of the key. Well, that's what we don't know. We kind of think that the Dolphins have the personnel to play, you know, basically the gap control, with their defensive line, but then also get penetration, and really hold down the line of scrimmage on the defensive side of the ball and let the linebackers have some room to work. But we haven't really seen it. Like, we haven't seen them play this defense. I think the Chargers are going to test Miami vertically with Herbert, but I also think they're going to test the Dolphins run defense. So the Dolphins have had a very good run defense the last few years, but if you're going to be playing more coverage and you're going to be playing a little bit softer in the zone, I think the run game is kind of where you can be exploited, that and the short passing game. So I kind of expect that while the Chargers will take their shots, I think early in the season, especially, it makes sense to force the opposing defense to tackle because, teams don't get super physical in practice. There are fewer preseason games. There's fewer live reps for the starters. And so increasingly, I think if you look at the last few years, defenses typically struggle tackling early in the season. So I think, just like Miami should try to get the ball to their playmakers in space and force the Chargers defenders to tackle, I think the Chargers are going to do the same thing. So I'm expecting a heavy dose of Austin Ekeler. I think they're going to give him a lot of touches, not just carries, but also, you know, short receptions coming out of the backfield. And they're going to test, you know, Miami's linebackers. And they're also going to test Miami's, you know, box safety, because we don't know what we're going to see out of Brandon Jones. Is Deshaun Elliott going to fill that role? How much is Brandon Jones even going to play? Like we don't know, because this guy was in a red non-contact jersey just until about a week ago. He didn't play in the last preseason game, so we haven't seen him in a really long time. I think they're going to force Miami's linebackers and defensive backs to show that they can tackle. And if they can't, it's going to be a really long day.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see how this defense approaches it. It sounds like they're going to mix things up a little bit, that Fangio is going to have guys coming in and out, and they're going to be mixing and matching throughout, trying to, I think they're going to try to avoid being predictable in terms of how they handle their coverages throughout this game. So I think that's one of the big questions that's out there defensively. And it's again, this is that point where we don't really have a whole lot of information. This is going to be our first time seeing that Fangio defense go to work. And I for one, am actually very excited to see what that looks like, frankly. So that's something to think about. There are some other questions in this game, Brain, and of course they are back on the offensive side of the ball. One of them being, are we going to have Teron Armstead in this game? That's probably the biggest question, right? And I know I have seen a lot of people freaking out on the social media. Okay, they're getting a little worried. They feel like, oh God, he's not practicing. He's going to miss this game. And I'm here to say to everybody, don't read into the fact that Teron Armstead isn't practicing. This is Teron Armstead we're talking about. He doesn't practice. We saw what happens when he practices. He gets hurt, right? It's better if he just doesn't practice, stays home, you know, does whatever he needs to do off the field. And then when it's time to go out there and play on Sunday, he can go play. So I'm not reading anything into it. I think it's a 50-50 shot as to whether or not he's going to play. I make nothing of the fact that he's not practicing because we saw it all last season. He never practiced and then he would play and then he would suit up on Sunday. So, you know, the only thing that would make me worried at this point in terms of his availability for Sunday and make me, you know, that get me off of that perspective would be if he came out and said, I don't think I'm going to play on Sunday, or if he acknowledged that it was unlikely that he was going to play on Sunday. You know, and that's not something that I expect to hear from the Dolphins. The question is, though, really, if he doesn't play on Sunday, what does that offensive line look like? Then you've got, you're going to have Kendall Lamb at left tackle. And then do you have, I mean, the depth chart came out this week and it had Liam Eichenberg as LG1. Do we then have Liam Eichenberg at left guard, or do we have Isaiah Wynn at left guard? That's a big question anyway. And let me just say this. If Armstead does play and we still see Liam Eichenberg at left guard starting, what is the definition of insanity?
Doing the same thing and expecting different results.
That's where we are.
Yeah. So to piggyback off of that, just, you know, to answer the question first, if Teron Armstead doesn't play, what do we look like on the offensive line? I think we got a major problem, especially considering, you know, you're going up against a healthy Khalil Mack and Joey Bosa. So I think you're in a bad spot if you've got no Teron Armstead. But I'll say this, as far as, like, I'm not reading into anything that he's not practicing. I'm not surprised by that. And I'm not going to really, at this point, if he plays, I'm not going to be surprised because, like you said, I mean, the majority of the season last year, he didn't practice. And then he still went out and played. What I'll say is that, look, I don't want to overstate the importance of this game because I do think this is a really, really important conference game between two teams that I think are both good enough to be Super Bowl contenders, but are also in divisions where they're not necessarily the favorites. And that means there's a very high likelihood that both of these teams are going to be jockeying for a wild card spot. And, you know, even if both teams are division winners, then they could be jockeying for, you know, seeding, home field advantage, potentially a bye. This is a very important game, but at the end of the day, it is also the first game of the season. And what I don't want is Teron Armstead playing at 70% or 80% and then playing at 70 to 80% for the majority of the season. I think it is much more important to have Teron Armstead 100% healthy or close to it for as much of the season as possible. So even though I acknowledge that this is a very important conference game, even though it is only week one, I also think that if there is any question as to, you know, the likelihood of him aggravating that injury in this game, I think this is a time where you should probably proceed with caution. And I'm sure that Teron Armstead wants to play in this game. But if they look at this and they're saying, well, look, if he gets an extra week of rest, he's going to definitely be good to go. But if he plays, then there's a very good chance that he's going to aggravate this. And this is going to be something that lingers for a few weeks or a few months or possibly the entire season. To me, it's a no-brainer to hold him out if that's the conclusion that you come to. But it just feels like there's so much put into the buildup of this season that it just feels like the importance of this game is being a little bit overstated. And I don't want the Dolphins, I don't want Mike McDaniel as the head coach to kind of lose sight of the forest through the trees. in that regard.
I think that's a fair point, Brandt. I really believe that, listen, the Dolphins win this game. They've won one game. And yes, they have a leg up on an opponent that is going to be right there, probably in the thick of the playoff race, right? And that's it. It is a big win in that regard. But if the Dolphins win this game, they don't win the Super Bowl automatically. It's not like if the Dolphins win this game, they are automatically AFC champions. It's not the AFC championship game. If they win this game, that means they've started the season 1-0 with a 1-0 conference record, and they have 16 football games left to play in the regular season, right? And, you know, it, and if they lose this game, that doesn't mean they're doomed. It doesn't mean that nothing is going to go right for them. I mean, and they could lose this game and have it be ugly. It could be an ugly loss. And that doesn't even say anything about what they're going to do this season. It's the first game of the season. What do I say every year on this show, Rain? The NFL is the league where people have the biggest reaction to small sample sizes. And this is the first game of the season. And so it's ultimately, yes, it's important to get off on a, you know, with a good first impression, and you want to show out on the first game of the season. But if you lose the game and you look bad, you know, whatever. The most important thing is that the Dolphins come out of this game and are healthy. That's the biggest thing. Obviously, you want to get the win, but if you lose, you know, as long as you're healthy. If you go in and you win this game, but you lose to Ron Armstead, that's a problem, right? So I think, yeah, if it is a question about his health and being 100%, it's better to be a bit more cautious at this moment in time. Because like you said, the health of this team is the most important factor in how they're going to perform over the course of the season, you know? And you want to try to be as close to 100%. And this is theoretically, game one is theoretically when you're the healthiest that you're ever going to be.
Yeah. And there's a difference between, you know, playing with a nagging injury in November and December and gutting it out because you're coming down the home stretch of the season versus gutting out an injury that, you know, if you give it a week's rest, you're going to be good to go. Versus having this thing linger throughout the entire season. Now, granted, Teron Armstead has shown that even with an injury that's lingering, he could still play at a really high level. And I get that. So I think at the end of the day, it's really going to be his decision. But it's something to kind of keep in mind, there. But I will say if Teron Armstead does not play, the pathway to a Dolphins victory becomes a little bit thinner.
A little bit. In other news, it sounds like Jaylen Waddle is starting to look good. So from a health perspective, it sounds like he's going to be good to go on Sunday. Devon Achain is showing improvement. Sevon Ahmed is going to be there. It's looking good otherwise, with the exception of what it's going to be with Teron Armstead. That remains the big question. So that's where we're at. What about special teams, Brain? Because this is something that we don't talk too much about. But, you know, Danny Crossman is still here.
He's still here.
So how important is special teams going to be in this game on Sunday, Brain?
Well, I mean, look, obviously, you know, you can't be missing field goals, and that really has nothing to do with Danny Crossman. I think the bigger thing is, kick coverage was a sore spot for this team last year. Danny Yes. Crossman kept his job in the preseason. I think we saw concerning trends continue in that regard. So I am a little bit worried about this team's kick coverage because, you know, a big play on special teams could be the difference in the game. It could be a big momentum breaker. I think this is going to be a really close game. So I think, you know, any little thing, you know, whether it's a big special teams play, whether it's a turnover, whether it's a dropped ball, you know, any little thing can be the difference that, you know, stops a drive, keeps a drive going, flips the momentum of the game, it could be the difference in the game. And so you just want to be solid there. You don't want to lose a game because of your special teams. I don't know what to expect. I just hope that it's better than what it was last year.
So do I. Yeah. Big time.
I don't think anybody can really say, oh, with any kind of definitive proof, say the Dolphins special teams is going to be bad again, or it's going to be much improved. I just think we got to wait and see what they put out there.
Yep. And that's kind of, that's the phase where we're at. And that's what's so exciting. So, Brain, it's time for us to share our hashtag one hot take for this game. But before we do that, I've got to read a message from our friends at Caldera Lab, who are sponsoring this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Listen, gentlemen, we know first impressions matter. And if you're not taking care of your skin, that's going to be the first thing someone notices. And they're instantly either going to think you're way older than you are or that you just don't care about your appearance. You got to show them that you do care and make a great first impression with Caldera Lab, which, gentlemen, they've got these formulations that you put on your face. They help your skin look better. They create these high performance men's skincare products, and their regimen, that's what they call it. That's their gimmick, right? They got these three products. They combine, their powers combine to form the regimen, right? So there's the Clean Slate, which is a face wash that you put on at the beginning of the day and the end of the day. There's the base layer, which is like a daily moisturizer. And then they've got this other thing, the Good, that you put on. It's a multifunctional serum that you put on at night that helps your skin look tighter, Brain, and smoother. And it also helps reduce the visibility of wrinkles and fine lines. Brain, I was going to say you probably know all about having wrinkles and fine lines, but now that you've been using the Good, you can hardly see them.
I know. And it's not just the, you know, the shoddy camera on my laptop. It's actually working. I've been doing the whole regimen here for a couple months, and honestly, the skin's never been better.
Yeah, you're looking really good. And if you're watching the Same Old Dolphin Show on YouTube, you can see that. If you're listening to the Same Old Dolphin Show, this is a good reason to head on over to YouTube. But either way, we've got an exclusive offer just for you. This is the best offer anywhere from Caldera Lab. Go to calderalab.com, use the promo code DOLPHINSTALK, and you're going to get 20% off of your order right now. So get 20% off with the code DOLPHINSTALK at calderalab.com and make unforgettable first impressions that will lead to the charming words, "Hey, you look younger," which is great. All right, Brain, it's time. It's time for your one hot take.
My one hot take is that the Miami Dolphins will have a running play that goes for 40 plus yards. And they will also have a screen pass that goes for 40 plus yards in this game. They will create explosive plays without throwing the ball down the field.
I love that. Well, they sort of did that last year on the fumble rooski with Tyreek Hill picking the wackiest play. We watched that live with David Behrman on the show with us. Yeah, that's right. So, Brain, I'm going to give you my one hot take in just a minute, but we did get some responses from folks on Twitter about this game. So let me share these with you here. So Mike from Dolphins Talk says Jason Sanders makes a 50 plus yard field goal. That is a pretty hot take because Sanders is I used to feel pretty good about Jason Sanders. I don't really feel that good about Jason Sanders anymore. I mean, it's kind of a sketchy situation. I feel the same way about Jason Sanders as I do about whether or not Teron Armstead is going to play. Ant says A-Chain makes a splash. Maybe he's got one of those big run plays that you suggested, Brain. Let's see. What else do we got here? Here's a hot take. It's not really about the game, but it's from Rich Miller. He says, because I bought Sunday ticket and can watch all the games for the first time ever, the Dolphins will go 6-11. Oof. Oof. That would be a hashtag same old Dolphins moment.
Oof.
I hope that that's not what happens here. Here's Frank Amirati says, Jalen Phillips, 4 sacks. Here for it. Jalen Phillips, imagine 4 sacks first game. Let's go. Here we go. Throwbacks Forever says, if we don't win at all, it's because of the uniforms. Ken Dasher says, a combination of factors, the new offensive scheme in L.A., plus the starters not playing in the preseason for L.A., plus the Fangio-led D that has frustrated Herbert in the past, will cause the Chargers to score less than 2 touchdowns in a Miami win. I like that. And finally, you ready? This is probably my favorite one. This is from J.F. Maximilian. His one hot take is Feely needs to take care of the ball and feed Sammy Morris. Defense needs to slow down LT, and hopefully Taylor and Bowens can get to Breeze and cause some turnovers.
Nice. 90, like early 2000s reference.
Yes. Right there. I love an early reference like that. So here we go. And Brian, here's my one. And of course, if you're watching live, leave your one hot take, or watching after the fact, or listening after the fact, share your hashtag one hot take with us in the comments. We'd love to hear from you. Here's my one hot take. Eric Ezukama. Touchdown. Eric Ezukama will score his first NFL touchdown in this game for your Miami Dolphins. That's the hot take.
Running play or passing play?
Yes. That's my one hot take. All right, Brain, prediction time. Dolphins, Chargers, who's winning it?
So I'm going to assume that Teron Armstead's going to play.
That is quite an assumption.
Yeah. If he doesn't play, I think it's almost certainly a loss. Even if he does play, I think there are, he can only play one tackle position. He's not going to cover the other side of the offensive line. The Chargers have, between Bosa and Khalil Mack, they've got two elite pass rushers. That's really going to test this Miami offensive line. We'll see. I think it would be silly to put Austin Jackson on an island, so I hope that they're going to be giving him some help over there. And hopefully Teron Armstead plays. Otherwise, you're really in a tough spot. But regardless, I think the Dolphins will have some success moving the football. But I think it's going to be explosive plays, then a lot of, frustration. The one thing that could help them be consistent is if they can consistently run the football. I want to see them do it. I hope that they can do it. I need to see it before I can believe it. Especially when they get down near the red zone. Defensively, I think they're going to get some pressure on Herbert. I think they can force Herbert into some mistakes. But I also think that, the Chargers offense, presents some issues. I still think there's some major question marks about this Dolphins secondary, without Jalen Ramsey. I think, Xavien Howard is going to be tested. Mike Williams got the better of him last year. Is Xavien Howard, healthy Howard? Is he going to, bounce back and get the better of Mike Williams this year? Who's going to cover Keenan Allen? Obviously they're going to be zone coverage. I think the Dolphins are going to have their hands full. I still think the Chargers are going to move the ball well. I think this is going to be a close game. I lean towards the Chargers in this one. I think we're looking at somewhere around, I'm going to call it Chargers 23, Miami 19.
Oh, there it is. So the Brain picking the Chargers to win on Sunday. Brain, I feel like you and I see this game fairly similarly, because I think this is not going to be the cleanest game you've ever seen. I think it's going to be a lot of fits and starts. I think there will be moments where the Dolphins offense looks dynamic and exciting. I think there will be moments where they're still trying to figure some things out. Likewise, I believe we're going to see a little bit of that on the defensive side of the ball. Like, there are going to be moments where the defense is clicking on all cylinders and make some big plays, but there are going to be moments where there is some miscommunication. And I have a feeling that this is going to end up being a somewhat high scoring affair. And as such, I think it's going to ultimately come down to the last team with the ball getting the big win on Sunday. And I think the last team with the ball is going to be the LA Chargers. And I think the Dolphins are going to have a little bit of a setback in week one, and they're going to fall short on the road. But that's not a bad thing, because I think we're going to see a lot of things in this game. I mean, it is a bad thing. Losing is bad. Losing sucks. You hate to lose. You want to win the games. That's right. That's what we do here. But I think it's not going to be the kind of a lot. Like, when the Dolphins lost this game to the Chargers last year, it was pretty bad because they performed badly and they really failed in a lot of ways. I think this is going to be a game where we see the Dolphins succeed. We're going to see a lot of things work, and you're going to see the path forward for the Dolphins. I just think this is a situation that going across the country and winning in LA, even against the Chargers, a team with no fans, is still a challenge. And, you know, so I think the Dolphins will fall a little short here. Hopefully I'm wrong. Would love to be wrong. But, you know, I think this is going to be a good first step for the Dolphins, even if the end result is not the one that they're looking for on Sunday. So give it to me. I'll say Chargers win this one. We'll call it 31-28.
This is what I'll say in reply to that, is that even if the Dolphins play well and lose this game, we're past the point of moral victories. I don't want it. I'm not, of course. Like I'm not going to, like, granted, losing is not the end of the world, especially not in week one, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think that last year, the defense obviously underachieved for the majority of the season. The offense played at a high level when Tua was in for the majority of the season. But down the stretch, whether Tua was playing or not, this team ultimately failed on the offensive side of the ball more than the defensive side of the ball. And when we got into the offseason and we talked about what you want to see the Dolphins do to take this team to the next level, and I looked at the Super Bowl teams from a year ago, the Chiefs and the Eagles. I said, you know, as much as it would be really great to have an elite defense, the Eagles had the best defense in the league last year. And they got stomped. I mean, defensively, they got stomped in the Super Bowl. It was a close game, but Kansas City scored basically at will. And so my thought was, for the Dolphins to take that next step, they really need to have an elite offense. And I understand that year two of the offense for Mike McDaniel, you're expecting to see that jump. But in my opinion, I've said this for years, the way you have an elite offense in this league, you need to either have an elite quarterback or an elite offensive line. And if you have both, then you are really, really elite on the offensive side of the ball. Obviously, we do not have an elite offensive line. I think Tua has shown that at the very least, he is a solid NFL quarterback. I think he's a pretty good one. I think he's a top 10 NFL quarterback, but that is not an elite quarterback. And so, for this team to have an elite offense, that's really what I'm looking for, because I don't know that the defense, even with Vic Fangio, is going to be good enough to carry this team. So if the Dolphins go out there and score 19 points and lose, even if they show bright spots, I think there's going to be a lot of cause for concern. So I'll say that. No moral victories. Go Dolphins.
I like it. All right. So we both picked the Dolphins to come up short in their first game of the season. Brain, let's shift our focus now to the season as a whole. We're going to do a quick around the divisions. Let's pick our division winners, and then we'll pick our wild card teams, and then we'll discuss how the playoffs run out. You ready?
I'm ready.
And by the way, if you're watching live, leave us a note in the comments. What do you think the Dolphins are going to do on Sunday? You think the Dolphins are going to get that win in LA? Let us know. Put it in the comments. Let us hear from you. Tweet at us at Amplified Rock, at Aaron the Brain, at Same Old Dolphins. Let us know. What do you think? Let's go division by division. We're going to do this. Let us know as well. Who do you think is going to win each division in the league? Who's going to the playoffs? Who's going to the Super Bowl? Let's have that conversation. Let's figure it out. Brain, here we go. Let's start in the NFC. People always like to start in the AFC. We're going to start in the NFC. Let's go to the NFC East. The NFC champion, Philadelphia Eagles, in a division with the Cowboys, Giants, and Washington Commanders. Brain, who's going to win the NFC East?
I think this is a two-team race between the Eagles and the Cowboys. I think there is going to be a little bit of regression from the Eagles. I do think the Cowboys are legit. But still give me the Eagles to win a very close contested division race.
Yeah, I agree with you. I believe the Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC East. And I just have absolutely no faith in the Cowboys to get anything done. I think they'll be good. I think there will be times where they are entertaining to watch, but I do not believe that they are going to amount to very much of anything when all is said and done. Let's go from there to the NFC North. Brain, you got the Bears, you got the Packers, you got the Vikings, and you have the Detroit Lions. Who's going to win the NFC North?
I think this is a two-team race as well. I'm not watching the game that's going on right now, so I'm not sure how the Lions are looking. I do like the momentum that they ended the season with. And I'm not necessarily sold on Minnesota. I think this is another real tight division. Give me the Lions.
This is 2 for 2 now where we're in divisions picking the same team to win. I like Dan Campbell's Lions. And I'm not going to comment on the score because I'll let other people watch that game and do what they will. But yes, I like the Lions to win the NFC North here. This is their year. They're finally going to get back to the playoffs and get themselves a big playoff dub. So good for the Lions. Let's see. Where are we going to go from here? Let's go to the NFC South. Brain, Tampa, New Orleans, Carolina, Hotlanta. Who do you like here?
I'm fairly certain that we're going to be 3 for 3 on this. I think New Orleans ends up winning this division. I will say, I would not be shocked. I think the Atlanta Falcons are kind of a sleeper team. But I do think New Orleans will win this division.
I'm going to go and say that this is Atlanta's division this year. I'm going to go out there. I'm going to disagree. I'm going to give you the hot take. I'm going to say that this is Atlanta's division. They are a little bit of a sleeper team. It's a terrible division. And I think there is a world where things come together just right for that Atlanta Falcons team, especially when you consider how they overachieved last year. I think there's a good chance that the Atlanta Falcons are going to make things happen and win that NFC South, which is going to take us to the NFC West, where you've got the Seattle Seahawks, the San Francisco 49ers, you've got the LA Rams, and you've got the Arizona Cardinals, who are absolutely tanking for Caleb Williams, who hilariously had his father suggest that maybe he would go back to school if he didn't like which team ended up with the number one pick, which is pretty interesting. And I think sparks an interesting conversation, but we'll have that conversation at another time. But Brain, this is the Seahawks or the 49ers. I'm saying it's the 49ers personally going to win this division. But do you see a team in this division? Maybe the Seahawks can catch the 49ers?
I think San Francisco is loaded. Obviously, they still have some question marks at quarterback, but look at what they did last year in spite of those question marks at quarterback. I think they're just a loaded roster everywhere else, and I think they're good enough at quarterback. So I think that San Francisco will win this division. I like Seattle. I think they were a great story last year. I got to see, you know, there's been a lot of quarterbacks in this league's history that have had one really great year. And, you know, this goes for Tua as well. But I, you know, in this case, we're going to talk about Geno Smith. I need to see another really good year out of Geno Smith for me to really believe it. Until I do, I don't really think, that Seattle is a serious threat. I will say the Rams have a ceiling to potentially catch the 49ers, but I think it's very contingent on whether or not Matthew Stafford is done. And I kind of feel like he might be done. And so I think San Francisco wins this division.
Yeah. All right. So we both agree that it's the 49ers. Let's shift over to the AFC. We'll start in the AFC West because we'll save the East for last.
Oh, AFC, we're not going to do the wild card in the NFC. And
I guess we'll talk about who your wild card teams in the NFC.
Okay. So I've got the Cowboys.
All right. I'll allow it.
I've got the Vikings.
All right.
And I think that Seattle does enough. Well, no. I'm gonna say Atlanta sneaks in as a wild card.
I like it. I like it. My wild card teams are New Orleans. I like. I'm gonna say the Packers are gonna sneaky come along with Jordan Love and be a wild card team. And I'll go ahead and say the Cowboys get that other wild card spot as well. So there we are. Now to the AFC. AFC West, this is Kansas City's division, or is there somebody that can catch them?
I think Kansas City may have a little bit of a down year. I think a down year for Kansas City is still going to be a playoff team. But I think the Chargers may catch them this year. And so I am picking the Chargers to win this division.
Wow.
Go about 12-5, and I think they get the division win.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm picking the Chiefs. It's a Chiefs world, and everybody else is just living in it right now. So I'm picking the Chiefs to win that division. Let's go from there to the AFC South, Jacksonville, Tennessee, Houston, and Indianapolis. This is the Jaguars division, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is a no-brainer. The Jags may have this division wrapped up by the time December rolls around.
Yeah, it's a pretty bad division. I've said it before, and I'm kind of sticking to my guns here, that I think Tennessee is a sleeper, one of the worst team in the league candidates. I mean, I think it's unlikely with Vrabel being their head coach that he's going to let them be that bad, but I think Tennessee could be pretty bad. I'm definitely saying Jacksonville wins that division. That takes us to the AFC North, which is one of the other best divisions in football. Cincinnati, Cleveland, Baltimore, Pittsburgh. This is a great division. I could really see it going. I could see just about any team winning this division with the exception of Cleveland. But I mean, even so, if Watson comes back and is the quarterback that he was before he decided to, I guess it was during him like doing his massage nonsense, but before he was suspended or whatever it was, before he disappeared for a little while, if he can be that kind of quarterback again, you know, there's no telling what the Browns could do. All that being said, I still think that this is Cincinnati's division, and I'm saying the Bengals win the North.
Yeah, so it's funny that you said you could see anybody in this division winning the division other than Cleveland. I would say I could see anybody in this division winning the division except for Pittsburgh.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, that kind of tells you the depth of this division. I think Cleveland is a really interesting sleeper team. I think Baltimore is still very, very solid. And as long as Lamar Jackson is healthy, I think that team is very dangerous. I think Cincinnati is the most complete team. Do we know if Burrow is starting? Like, is he healthy to start the season?
I believe that he's going to be good to go on Sunday. I mean, and he just signed a $275 million extension. So, he's good to go.
Yeah, I agree. I think this is probably Cincinnati's division. I'm going to take Cincinnati.
And that leads us to the AFC East. Brain, who you got?
I have two teams finishing at 11-6 in this division.
Okay.
And those two teams will be the Dolphins and the Buffalo Bills. And I have the Dolphins winning the last game of the season against Buffalo to not just get into the playoffs, but to win the division.
I love that story. I wore a shirt tonight for a very specific purpose, and I'm gonna share that shirt with those who are watching on YouTube and the I Am a Miami Dolphin Fan Facebook page right now. For those of you listening to the podcast, I'm wearing a shirt that says 2008 AFC East Champions. And in case you don't remember, that team was your Miami Dolphins. The Wildcat Miami Dolphins in 2008. That was the last time they won the AFC East. And guess what? We're going to win the AFC East again, baby. The Miami Dolphins winning the AFC East with an 11-6 record. The Dolphins are going to take down the Buffalo Bills and go into the playoffs. The playoffs aren't going to necessarily come through Miami, but at least one game is. And that is a beautiful thing. So the Dolphins are winning the AFC East. Brain, who do you have as your wild cards?
So I've got Kansas City.
Uh-huh.
They'll probably be the 5 seed. They'll probably be the 5 seed. I think Buffalo will get in as the 6 seed. And I've gone back and forth on the 7 seed because I think the Jets are going to have 10 wins. I think Cleveland and Baltimore will be in the conversation. I'm going with, I know I said that the AFC East would get 3 teams in, but I'm going to take one of those teams from the AFC North, and I'm going to go ahead and take Cleveland to make the playoffs this year.
Oh, look at that. That's a big one. That's a big one. That's got to feel good for all the Deshaun Watson fantasy managers out there, because that probably means good things for them. But all right, so here we go. I will say then that my wild card teams are going to be Buffalo in the AFC East, not the Jets. Fuck the Jets. Always. I'm going to put the Chargers in there. And I am going to say, what's the spiciest take here? Give me the Broncos.
Ooh.
As the 7 seed. How about that?
For Russell a spicy Wilson.
Take. Give me the Broncos. Russell Wilson leads the Broncos. Let's ride, baby. So there we go. All right, Brain. So now it's playoff time. Who's going to come out of the NFC for you?
I think San Francisco. I think
that there, makes two of us.
Yeah. I think there was a good chance that San Francisco would have come out last year had they had a little bit more luck staying healthy at quarterback. I think San Francisco and Philadelphia have the two best rosters in the NFC. But I do think there's going to be more regression from Philadelphia. And I think San Francisco is more on the up. It feels like it's their year to win the NFC.
Yep. I agree with you. I believe in that Shanahan team. Brock Purdy is what Brock Purdy is. I don't think it was a fluke last year. I think we're going to see some more consistent play with him. He's playing within a great system, and I think it's going to work. And I think this team is going to bounce back. I think if that team wasn't as beat up as they were in that NFC Championship game, it would have been a much closer game. And so I think the 49ers are going to come out on top of the Eagles this year in the NFC Championship game. On the other side of the coin, Brain, who's coming out of the AFC?
I think the Dolphins have a chance. Because
that's not
think,
what I asked.
Let me preface.
Oh, I
think the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins have a chance. I think I think they'll get a home playoff game. But ultimately, I think this is the year for Joe Burrow.
Oh.
I think we're going to see for the third time in this league's history, a Bengals 49ers Super Bowl. And this time, the Bengals are going to get the better of it, and they're going to bring home their first ever Lombardi Trophy.
I think that is a very interesting possibility. For me, though, Bryn, I believe that there is going to be an AFC Championship game that is going to be played, as is typically the case, in Arrowhead Stadium. And I think that Patrick Mahomes is going to be going to war with another top-tier AFC quarterback. But this quarterback's name is Tua Tagovailoa. And against all the odds, on a frigid Kansas City night, Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins are going to go into Arrowhead Stadium and shock the world to give us the Super Bowl 19 rematch that all of us want to see. And Tua Tagovailoa is going to lead your Miami Dolphins to the Super Bowl to take on Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. Dolphins, Niners, Super Bowl. Let's go. So, Brain, and you get, so you're saying Joe Burrow is going to win over the 49ers. The Miami Dolphins are going to be your Super Bowl champions. There's the prediction. Let's go. Come on. This is going to happen. I'm going all in. I'm pushing all of my chips at the middle of the table, and I'm saying this is it for the Miami Dolphins. They're going to make it happen this year. They're going to stay just healthy enough. They're going to take care of themselves. They're going to be smart. They're going to bide their time. They're going to realize that they don't need to peak in September. They don't need to peak in October. They need to peak in January and February. And that's what this team is going to do. And they are going to be in Las Vegas as your Super Bowl champions. This is the year, baby. Let's do it.
I love it.
And with all that being said, that's where we're going to end this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. So a reminder to you, if you're not doing so already, follow us on Twitter at AppleVitaRock, at Aaron the Brain. That's at Aaron the Brain. The show is at Same Old Dolphins. Follow our download, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, SoundCloud, everywhere you get your podcast. Subscribe to the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. Smash that like button. Go ahead, smash it right now, the thumbs up button. Smash it. Leave us your thoughts in the comments. Who's going to win the Super Bowl? We want to hear from you. Visit DolphinsTalk.com each and every day. And Brain, any parting words for the people?
Look, I've said it a million times over the last probably year, ever since they traded for Bradley Chubb. No more moral victories. You believe this team is good enough. No more excuses. In the words of Al Davis, just win, baby.
Just win, baby. That's what needs to happen. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to go out there and win. And that is going to wrap it up for this episode of the Same Old Dolphin Show. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Thank you for following. We appreciate each and every one of you. Football is back, baby. It's football Christmas on Sunday. Enjoy it. Have a great time. And as always, take care of yourselves and each other. We'll talk to you again next time. Bye-bye, everybody. Go Dolphins!
Tune in next week for a brand new prediction.